You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
There are people today who are asleep in the church.
Coming up next on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out it's not a time for apathy or lethargy in our walk with God.
Wake up! The signs of the times are around you. Jesus Christ is coming back again. There's never been a time where it's been more important for us to know our Bibles and to walk closely with God. And we need to be sane and clear-headed to the fact that Christ could come back at any time.
This is the day when the lost are found.
Seen anyone yawn on a roller coaster? No, it's not the time to show signs of boredom when you're fearing for your life. Well, we're surrounded by the signs that the Lord's end times plan may soon move full speed ahead. It's a time of drama and spectacle like the world has never seen. And Pastor Greg Laurie says it's not a time to coast in our spiritual lives. Today on A New Beginning, a good reminder that the evidence for the last days is all around us, and we need to be prepared.
As we come to this topic of Bible prophecy, as we look at end times events, I think we need to come at it not only with our minds, but also with our hearts. And by that I mean, we don't want to merely discuss these things in an academic way, but rather we want to see what this is saying, because it should move us as individuals. It should cause us to want to live a more godly life. We read in 1 John 3:2-3, "Yes, dear friends, we're already God's children. We can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we know that when He comes, we'll see Him as He really is. And all who believe this will keep themselves pure as Christ Himself is pure." So if you really understand these things that the Bible is saying about the soon return of Jesus, it should cause you to want to live a godly life. You should want to be on your toes spiritually. Some might say, "Oh, you know, I can't understand all that Bible prophecy stuff, Antichrist this, millennium that, rapture over here. I don't know what it means. I can't sort it out. I'll let someone else figure those things out." Now, wait a second. You don't want to ignore these things, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. In fact, there is a special blessing promised in the book of Revelation to those that hear and keep the words of this prophecy. Listen, God must have wanted us to learn Bible prophecy, because 30% of the scriptures is dedicated to this topic. And God wants us to know that He keeps His word, just as surely as He kept His word with prophecies that foretold the arrival of the Messiah. He wants us to know He will keep His word about the prophecies pertaining to the return of the Messiah. Let's consider a brief history of the Jewish people. Her roots go back to Abraham, when God established a covenant with him and with his descendants. In Genesis 17, we read that God appeared to Abraham and said, "I am the Lord God Almighty. I establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give to you as an everlasting possession and to your descendants after you, and I will be their God." So the Lord is very specific in saying to Abraham that the land of Canaan, later to be conquered by Israel, would be their land forever. The land of Canaan being modern day Israel today, though they don't occupy all of that land, they occupy some of it given to them by the Lord. Not only did God promise this land to His people, but He also made this profound statement before that in Genesis 12:3, The Lord said to Abraham, I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. God has blessed the world through the Jewish people. It is through the Jews that our Bible came. It is through the Jews that our Messiah came. And God has promised that those that would bless Israel and bless the Jewish people would be blessed by God, and those that cursed Israel and cursed the Jewish people would be cursed by God. If you don't believe that promise is true, just pull out your history books. Look at every nation that has tried to destroy the Jews. Germany comes to mind right off the bat. There are many other nations that have done things similar to that. But God has dealt with them. And then I want you to consider how God has blessed our country. He's blessed us because He's blessed them. And if we withdraw our support, I think it's a huge mistake. So where's Abraham? God has given him this covenant. Abraham has a son named Isaac. Isaac has a son named Jacob. Jacob has a son named Joseph. And you remember how Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Joseph ends up in Egypt in charge of the food supply. When a famine hits the land, Joseph's brothers, along with their father Jacob, make their way over to Egypt. And then we fast forward 400 years, and the Jews have now multiplied in Egypt, and the Pharaoh is using them for slave labor. In fact, there are so many Jews there that he wants to have them killed and put to death. And he gives a decree that the little Jewish baby boys would be killed. And through God's providence, one of those little baby boys was put in a tiny little kind of almost like a little miniature boat of sorts and put down the Nile River and discovered by the Pharaoh's daughter and ultimately taken into his home. And this little boy, of course, was Moses. According to Josephus, he was being groomed to become the next Pharaoh of Egypt. But Moses, being a Jew, saw the plight of his fellow Jews. God directed him to bring about their deliverance, and the great Exodus took place, and all the Jews left Egypt and made their way across the Promised Land. It took them 40 years to get there, of course. That's because men were in charge. No one would stop and ask for directions. No, that's not really true. The real reason is because of their disobedience to the Lord. They went in circles, but they got there eventually. They came to the Promised Land. Moses died. Joshua led them in, and they conquered this new land, and there they were in this land. So they finally made it in. The promise of Abraham was fulfilled. But the problem was the Jewish people were turning to idolatry. God warned them to cease from that, to stop it. They turned to idols again and again and again. And the Lord told them another nation would overtake them as slaves. They didn't listen. So finally along comes Nebuchadnezzar. And the Israelites are taken into captivity to Babylon for 70 years. At the end of the 70 years, the Jews begin to return back to Israel and Jerusalem again. And now we fast forward to the times of Rome. Now they're occupied by the Romans. And the long-awaited Messiah of Israel comes. He is largely rejected by his people. As the scripture says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus is betrayed. He's crucified. He rises again on the third day, and he ascends to heaven. And then the Jewish people have Titus come along, burn down the second temple, and they're effectively scattered to the four corners of the earth. But God makes a prediction that Israel will come to the land, she'll be dispersed to the four corners of the earth, and then she will return to the land. And the scripture said, when that happens, you know that is a super sign of the last days. Not only did Jesus predict it, but also Ezekiel did in chapter 37. He said he would take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they had gone and gather them from every side and bring them to their own land and make them one nation in the land. And then, of course, as we fast forward through Jewish history, we look at the horrific events of the Holocaust. And after World War II ended, the Jews began to return to their homeland again. And we're seeing the prophecy of Ezekiel and others fulfilled before our very eyes. God promised in the last days he would gather the Jewish people from all over the world back to the land from where they had been scattered. Has that happened? Yes. God promised that he would gather them to a specific place, the land of Israel. Has that happened? Yes. God promised that they would not only be taken to Israel, but they would become a nation again after they arrived in the land. Has that happened? Yes. God promised that not only would they be a nation again, but he would bring them back to the city of Jerusalem. Has that happened? Yes. So what should we do in light of what we've just seen? Three things. We should wake up, we should sober up, and we should suit up. Let's turn for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn there with me if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are very specific instructions in light of what we have just seen. Things that people who are living in the last days ought to be doing. So Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6, "Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who are drunk at night. And those who are of the day are sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Listen, the teaching of Christ's return is a litmus test of where you are at spiritually. For the person who is right with God, when you hear that Jesus could come back at any time, it motivates you. It purifies you. It causes you to want to be right with God, and so it should. For the person who is not right with God, when you hear things like this, it frightens you. It alarms you. For a person who is watching and waiting, the return of Jesus is welcome. For the person who is not where they ought to be spiritually, the return of Jesus is something they are not looking forward to at all. So how should we be living in the light of the fact that Christ could come at any moment? Number one, we are to wake up. He says in verse 8, "Let us not sleep as others do." There are people today who are asleep in the church. There's one story in the book of Acts that kind of interesting story. Paul the Apostle was preaching. He was preaching for hours. So be glad when I finish on time. I always keep an eye on the clock. Sometimes I go a little over. But Paul went on for hours and hours, and there's this one fellow named Eutychus who was listening up there on the top balcony, and he was by a window, and he dozed off. And by the way, when we're preaching, we know when you're sleeping. You're not fooling us. I think it comes as a revelation to people that you can not only see me here, but I can see you. I see you when you yawn. I see you when you're texting. I see you drooling, sir, right now on the right side. No, I'm kidding. But so this poor guy, Eutychus, falls asleep. But he doesn't just fall asleep. He falls from this top window to his death. Someone interrupts Paul's in the middle of a sermon. This guy was listening to you. He just died. Oh, stop the service. He goes over, prays for Eutychus, raises him from the dead. A miracle. What does Paul do? Like any good preacher, he finishes his sermon. I love it. It's another day in the book of Acts. But you know, people fall asleep in the church all the time, not just physically, but spiritually. You know, you hear the word of God, you take it in, and you become spiritually lethargic. You become spiritual connoisseurs. Oh, well, that sermon wasn't as good as the other sermon the other day, but I like this other preacher a little bit more. And what do you think? You know, that's not what this is about. This is not the battle of the preachers. These truths should be moving you spiritually. And you should be wanting to live a godly life. Wake up. The signs of the times are around you. Jesus Christ is coming back again. Pay attention. That's what the Bible is saying. It's something we should be looking forward to as well. Sort of like for those of us that believed in Santa Claus. There was an excitement. And that's how we should look at the arrival of the Lord. It should be with joyful anticipation, not with a miserable, repressive thought, but rather an excitement that he could come at any time. C.H. Spurgeon put it this way, quote, "It's a very blessed thing to be on the watch for Christ. It is a blessing to us now. It detaches you from the world. You can be poor without murmuring. You can be rich without worldliness. You can be sick without sorrowing. You can be healthy without presumption. If you are always waiting for Christ's coming, untold blessings are wrapped up in that glorious hope," end quote. So we need to wake up. Number two, we need to sober up. We need to sober up. Verse 8, let those of us who are of the day be sober. You know, I spend a lot of time around drunk people. You say, well, where do you hang out, Craig? First 17 years of my life, I was in an alcoholic home. I mean, that's pretty much all I saw from morning to night was people getting drunk. So I observed all kinds of drunks and the way that they react to alcohol. But one thing with people when they come under the influence is they try to act as though they are not under the influence, but they do stupid things, you see. One of the ways that the cops nail people who are driving under the influence is not because they drive too fast, but often because they drive too slow. You know, they're in the fast lane going 20. There's a DUI. Woo, woo, woo. Pull them over, you know. And so in the same way, there are people that they don't realize it, but they're under the influence of something. It could be alcohol, of course, but we could even broaden it. There's a lot of things that can intoxicate you in life. Jesus said in Luke 21, take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened, depressed, and weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries. And that day of the Lord, come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. To be sober means that you are to be clear-headed. You're to be alert. You're to have your eyes open, to be sane and steady. Don't be drunken and sleeping, but be awake and alert. And finally, we are to suit up. We are to wake up, we are to sober up, and we are to suit up. Verse 8, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is specific instruction from the apostle that we are to put our armor on. Folks, listen to me. We are in a spiritual battle. And if we don't realize that, we're going to become a casualty. You know what? One of the signs of the end times is people will fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines that demons teach. There's never been a time where it's been more important for us to know our Bibles and to walk closely with God. There's false teaching. There's various vices out there that are designed to entrap you and pull you away from God. And we need to be sane and clear-headed and alert and awake to the fact that Christ could come back at any time. Wake up, sober up, and suit up. Let me close with one last passage that really is a parallel to what we have already read. Romans 13, this is from the Phillips translation. Just listen to it. Why all this stress on behavior? Because I think, as you've realized, the present time is of the highest importance. It's time to wake up to reality. Every day brings God's salvation nearer. The night is nearly over. The day is almost dawn. Let us therefore fling away the things that men do in the dark, and let us arm ourselves for the fight of the day. Let's live cleanly as in the daylight, not in getting drunk or playing with sex, nor in quarreling or jealousies. Let us be Christ men from head to foot and give no chances for the flesh to have its fling. Powerful words. Let us be Christ men and women from head to foot and give no chance for the flesh to have its fling. Wake up, sober up, look up. Get armed for the battle that is at hand. You know, as we've shared these thoughts today, maybe as you listen to this, you wonder, am I ready for the Lord's return? Because some will be taken and some will be left. You say, well, how do you know if you're ready? You have a relationship with Christ. You're walking with Him. For those that are watching and waiting, He will come and you're looking for His return. But then there are some people that are doing the things that we're told not to do. They're playing with sex, quarreling, jealousies, drunkenness. They're living in two worlds. The Bible's saying, don't live that way anymore. The understanding of Christ's imminent return should cause you to want to live a godly life and be as ready as you can be. You don't have to be perfect. No one is. But you need to be prepared and ready. Are you? If you're not sure if Jesus Christ is living inside of you right now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to get right with God. And if you are living a compromised life or trying to live in two worlds and are doing some of the things I've already mentioned, this would be a really good time to recommit your life to the Lord. Let's pray and respond if you need to. Father, I pray now for any person listening to this message. If they do not yet know you, if they have not yet asked Jesus to come into their life, help them, Lord, to wake up and come to their senses and come to you by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with an important invitation, especially given the times in which we're living. And if you'd like to make things right with God, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment, so please do stay with us. But if you'd like to preserve Pastor Greg's insight for the future, let us help you get a permanent copy of this full study on CD. It's called Signs of the Times. Call us at 1-800-821-3300, and we'll help you take care of all the details. Again, that's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org.
I hang my harvest calendar in my office.
Right in my office, right behind my desk.
I hung my harvest calendar on my wall right next to my computer.
I hang mine right inside my pantry, which is opened repeatedly.
I have one in my home office, and I also have one in the kitchen area.
In the kitchen. It's the central gathering place in our home.
It really is. I mean, that's where the action is in the Laurie home. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place of fun. It's a place of many spiritual conversations. So what a great thing to have a calendar there that reinforces your faith, that reminds you of what God's Word says. And I think it's a wonderful thing in a Christian home to have passages of Scripture on display to remind you of God's Word. So this is something that you'll find aesthetically pleasing. It's great to look at, and it will reinforce your faith every time you lay your eyes on it. So order your harvest calendar for 2014.
The theme, Proverbs 31, and the characteristics of virtuous women and men. We're thanking those who sent a donation with this new wall calendar. And Pastor Greg, what would you say to those who give so consistently?
I would just say to all of them, thank you. I feel called to preach the gospel to my generation. I feel called to teach the Word of God. And I trust that you have seen that the Lord is guiding us in this way, and there's something about it that resonates with you, and you want to help us to continue. So thanks for being a part of our team, and I pray that you'll continue that support in the months and years ahead.
And if you can help on a regular basis, we hope you'll join our team of Harvest Partners. These are close friends who support this outreach monthly. The amount is up to you. Find out more about it by clicking on Become a Harvest Partner at harvest.org. Or call us and we'll explain the details. Our number is 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Well, just a few moments ago, Pastor Greg was talking about the importance of getting our hearts right with the Lord. And if you'd like to do that right now, Pastor Greg wants to help you.
Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Mean it from your heart, and God will hear you. Just pray this with me now. Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. Now be my Savior, be my Lord, and be my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to be your disciple from this time forward. I turn from my sin and I turn to you by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a simple prayer, but if you meant it, God heard you, and He can start changing you. And we want to help you to know what it is to live the Christian life. We put together some materials in a little packet that we call the New Believer's Growth Packet, and we'll send it to you at no charge. So if you'll write us here at A New Beginning, we will gladly send it in the mail, and God bless you. You have made the right decision.
And to get those materials Pastor Greg just mentioned, contact us and ask for the New Believer's Growth Packet. We'll be glad to send them your way upon request. And here's our mailing address, A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call us at 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. We're on the internet at harvest.org. And while you're there, why not take an extra moment to sign up for Greg's Notes? Each week, we'll send you an email containing Pastor Greg's message notes for the upcoming week's broadcasts here on A New Beginning. Wouldn't that be a great study help? And they're free of charge. Just look for Greg's Notes when you're online with us at harvest.org. We know the land of Israel figures prominently into the events of the end times. Well, Pastor Greg has more insight about that tomorrow as we continue with our Last Day series here on A New Beginning.
You are listening to InSearch Radio, dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo, and I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years, and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and their products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back.
Hello, this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.
There is a war going on, a spiritual war, a war between truth and deception. Only one thing cuts through all the lies and opinions of man. It is the truth of an ancient book, the Bible. It is God's word, God's sword.
Oh, my brother, we are engaged in a war.
Psalm 27 was really blessing me last week. I know that there were many here last week that said, man, I don't know why, but that was sweet. It's the Lord, I guess. Same old preacher, same book here, but the Lord was with us. Holy Spirit was. Pray He'd be here with us now. Psalm 28, Psalm of David. We're going to try to pick up the pace a little bit and move through some Psalms. Verse 1, unto thee, will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee. When I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity which speak peace unto their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also, and lift them up forever. David does here something that he does all the way through these psalms. He makes a contrast between the wicked and the righteous, between God's people and God's enemies. He makes a distinction. He does it from the very first psalm, where he does that whole, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Describes that blessed man who delights in the Lord. Then it says, he goes, but then the wicked are not so. They are not so. Not so blessed. And they will not stand in the congregation of the righteous. This contrast that he does, and here he does it in prayer. God, he prays, Lord, please hear me. Don't be silent. Have you had the experience in your life where you needed desperately to hear from God, and you're saying, God, please, you got to answer me. Please talk to me. If you don't, I'm doomed. You ever felt that sort of doom? David does, and he says so. He goes, if you're silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications, he says. And he says, I cry unto thee when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. Can I point out to you for a moment that posture that David spoke of? Lifting up his hands. It appears here, but also in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And as I've often said, lifting up holy hands without wrath. Usually when we pick up our hands, we're either expressing wrath or doubt, surrender. But instead, directing our prayers and our attention to God. We were sitting as a family down at little cafe in Ellsworth, where we'll do, you know, breakfast. They got a little box of toys for kids to come in. And, you know, Ben knows where those are, my six-year-old son. We go in there, and he goes and gets a toy, comes back, because the adults are going to be talking, and he's just going to be in his own little world. He visits it a lot. Well, he comes back with a couple little superhero guys. One of them is the lamest little version of Aquaman I ever saw. Typical little superhero action figure. Giant upper body, massive shoulders, massive chest, and skinny little legs that barely hold him up. But this little action figure had a button on the back, right? And the only thing it does, it was Aquaman. Big old green gloves on his hands, and his hands are like this, down. But when you push the button, his arms go up like this. That's the lamest superhero I've ever seen. He just goes from here to here. That's it. I suppose, and you do it right, maybe you can make it look like he's swimming or something. I go, look at this thing. I got to play with it, naturally. I go, all you bad guys, you, yes, you there, stop, wait, don't hurt me. And he just, it looks like that. But then I got playing with a butt, because his hands are in this position. Total surrender. And I got him going, just calm down. It's like that kind of hero. What kind of superhero goes, could everyone just settle down? I had a lot of fun with that thing. Laughed all the way through breakfast. We had Eric and Mandy with us. Mandy was having a fit on the floor. It was that funny. You had to see it. Lifting up holy hands, men, the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 2, without wrath and without doubting. The extremes that men will be at. Total pansy coward. Or total tyrant. Why, I oughta. But to lift up holy hands, directing our hands to the Lord. David said it here. I will, he said, lift my hands toward thy holy oracle. The Lord Jesus, when he blessed bread, he lifted up to heaven. He lifted it up and blessed bread and then broke it and fed a multitude. It is appropriate that we direct our attention upward and our prayer upward. And I don't know what some people think. I can tell by some of the comments I've heard over the years. In fact, one particular email where somebody said, I just never feel anything. I don't know how people do that. And I said, you're mistaken. It's an act of your will. He was under the impression that they just float up. That's what's happening to the people at church. And they're in the middle of a song and they just get so blessed, like, oh, it just happens. It's an act of your will, man. It's lifting up your hands. It's a biblical concept. Somebody a long time ago, one of the fellas brought his buddy from work. The guy comes and goes, man, cool service, liked it all, but what was this? And the guy is trying to explain it to him. I've probably told you this 1,000 times, but the guy is trying to explain it to him, trying to explain to an unspiritual man, a carnal mind, some spiritual thing that's going on. And finally the guy looks at him and goes, all right, so it's like your God antenna, right? That's what it is? Obviously, from the generation where they had rabbit ears on their TV. Ah, that's going way back to the early days of television, isn't it? Rabbit ears. Do any of you guys remember rabbit ears? Okay, well, thank you, fellow old people. Before there was cable, we had little antennas. We stuck on our TV. Yeah, you go to Channel 5, you got to get your rabbit ears adjusted for Channel 5. I guess it's coming from another hill. Go to Channel 2 on your big dial. Channel 2, you got to rearrange their ears. Well, this guy thought that's what that was all about. Hands. Where is it? Right, there's God. I'm getting a signal now. Yes. Yes, Lord. But it's not any of that. It's just this. It's just, you know, explaining to little children, why do we close our eyes when we pray? We don't have to close your eyes. Not necessary. But we are trying to focus on the Lord. And it's a good idea for little kids to close their eyes. Because they are, especially little boys. Like mine, just because you close your eyes, man, because if you don't, he's off in another world very quickly. His channel changes just like that. Funny thing about them kids, though. The little kids in our school always ratting out other kids for peeking. And how do they know? How do you know they were peeking? How do you know they had their eyes open? They never, ever think this through. Well, I was just looking to see if they were peeking. It's not like I was peeking. I was just looking to see peeking. That's all. Kids are funny the way they think. David said this, I will lift up my hands toward thy oracle. He prays, God, don't draw me away with the wicked, with the workers of iniquity in verse 3, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their heart. That human hypocrisy. We act like your friend. They got an expression down south. In the south, they kind of say things in a plain way. But I remember the expression well as a teenager. A brother in the Lord trying to communicate to me, hypocrisy is what's happening. With this particular situation, he goes, hey, man, I don't know what y'all think, but hey, that fellow right there is just petting you on the back and peeing on your leg, man. That really did paint a picture for me. Say, you mean he's not really my friend? No, man, he's petting you on the back and peeing on your leg. And so it is with the wicked here. He speaks peace to his neighbor, but mischief is in his heart. And David is here and other places, God, deal with them in justice. Give them what they deserve. Get them, God. Do you guys, will you please remember that all that the Scripture says, including all that our Lord Jesus taught in the New Testament about mercy and grace, doesn't make justice a bad thing. And vengeance in the New Testament, we're told, it is God's, and he will have it. Vengeance is the Lord's. I will repay. That's a quote right out of Romans chapter 12. Vengeance is the Lord's. It is God's, and he will repay. So David here is like, God, get them. These are the unrepentant. Give them what they deserve. And then in verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. He starts out praying, God, please hear me. And he ends, God, thank you for hearing. And this, verse 7, this statement we sang here tonight, we sing it often. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped, and therefore my heart greatly rejoices. With my song will I praise him. And David ends with, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his chosen. I hope you know that includes you, Christian, chosen, elect, chosen in him before the foundation of the earth. Save thy people, bless thine inheritance, and feed them also, and lift them up forever. Psalm 29, the Psalm of David. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. This one here is on the top of my list in heaven when I meet David and I get to hear whoever the chief musician is up there and however they put these together. This is one of my first requests. I want to hear Psalm 29 as you intended it. The majesty of it. And it's so much of this particular psalm is about the voice of the Lord. It makes something happen. It is, ladies and gentlemen, it is the Word of God that our relationship is with. Our relationship is with the Word of God. The Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. It was the voice of the Lord God that walked with our first parents. It is his Word by which he reveals himself. The voice of the Lord. What's amazing about the voice of the Lord is the scripture reveals. Is we have these statements from this psalm about the majestic things, the powerful things, the things of wonder and awe that the voice of God makes happen. At the same time, you have the experience of Elijah the prophet, where all of this majesty happens in front of him, including a tornado, earthquake, fire, all of this massive, humbling stuff as he's there in a cave. And God was not in it. The Lord wasn't in any of those big, giant, massive sort of natural phenomena. And then God spoke to him in what he calls a still, small voice, just going, Elijah, what are you doing here? You ever had that experience with God? That experience with God, the voice, perhaps if you've ever had God speak to you in such a way, it's not your ear, but your heart hears it loud. It's just, it is humbling. It's like you are so convicted, so profoundly affected. And in other times, the voice of the Lord is such a gentle little whisper, just almost like a suggestion, like a thought, an impression. But it is the Lord, and he talks like that. He didn't have to yell all the time. God speaks, and he speaks in a variety of different ways, and he speaks to different people in different ways. Probably none of you get spoken to as harshly as I do, but I'm loud, and sometimes the Lord is loud back to me. Sometimes he powerful reproof that sometimes he speaks so bluntly that I have to just laugh because I get it. And I can only go, yeah, you're right. Wow. Thank you. I'm humbled, Lord. And other times, so kindly, I'm amazed by it. The kindness of the Lord. And the statement about Christ from the prophet Isaiah, about a bruised reed he wouldn't break. God who makes everything happen, he is indeed the God of thunder. The voice of the Lord thunders upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. These statements are amazing. In contrast with the way he speaks by his Holy Spirit. This opening statement, give to the Lord, O ye mighty. Give to the Lord the glory and strength, that is the glory that is due to him. Give God the credit for who he is. Give God credit. One point in this psalm, in verse 9, where David, in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. You ever listen to your fellow man expressing himself? Well, I don't care if it's talk radio, or you don't find a whole of it here, but you go in some urban area and you turn on whatever is the hottest urban sort of hip-hop endless boasting station. You ever listen to people boast of themselves? Or you turn over your country station, you're bound to hear something stupid coming out of Toby Keith or, you know, those guys that just love to brag, especially the fool that sings an anthem to his red solo cup. Red solo cup? I lift you up. What an idiot. Forgive me, but that is just an unworthy thing. That is the most foolish song I've heard in the last decade. I'm aware of these things. I am. I'm a musical guy, and I am checking out my fellow man all the time, going, no, you guys, they're sickening. They're just always bragging. Everyone's always just proclaiming their glory, their awesomeness. But in God's temple, in heaven, everyone is caught up with him. Everybody. Ain't nobody up there going, I'm all that. I'm awesome, man. Nobody in heaven is singing their own praises. But even the fact that we're saved, even there in Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are saved by God's grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if we could do anything to save ourselves, we'd be all boasting in heaven. We would be going, oh yeah, what'd you do? What, that's all? So I did a lot more than that to save myself. That's right. I did a lot of good deeds. That's right. Let me tell you about my days on earth. Could I just tell you now about how wonderful a man I was? I'll eulogize myself forever. It'd be gross. Wouldn't it be just sickening? But in heaven, our story is the glory of God. That nobody's boasting. I've said it before, that nobody is... Fellas, you remember back in school? There was always somebody, by the time he got to middle school, that discovered his muscles were so massive that he couldn't walk right. Remember those guys down the hall that they started working out. Maybe they just got on the football team and poof, instantly. I can't go through the door like this. And you see him walking down the hall, man, flexing all the time. That's an insecure dude. That's what that is. Very insecure. Nobody's doing that next to God. It would be stupid. Get up next to God and go, Hey, God. Never mind. It's just no point. He's God. Nobody is next to God, you know, glorying in their beauty, their awesomeness, or anything. None of the people on stage in this world. They just want to be worshipped. That blows my mind every now and then when somebody... You know, I'm all into musical talent and people, you know, doing their best. And I'm amazed at how good, honestly, some of the artists of this generation are, their ability to sing or play. But when they hit it big, they hit the big notes or the big part of the song, and people jump up when they start a worship service, casting their crowns, I am appalled. I'm always grossed out. In heaven, everyone in his temple, everyone just sing of his glory. His glory. Don't you love the person that will, the athletes that will score and then just point upward? The guy who wins and genuinely means it, points up. You know, I mean, it's all in the matter of the heart, right? Because some guys are like, I'm the number one. I mean, they're not pointing up. It just looked like it. Well, the guy who will just bow, you know, the Tebow gesture. I mean, that's just plain. That is commendable. When somebody like Benson Henderson wins a UFC championship, 155 pounds, and the first thing he says is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he points upward and means it. That's impressive, isn't it? That is wonderful. Isn't it cool when somebody just goes, you know what, praise God. And even if you, some people can't handle compliments, by the way. Some spiritual people are like all messed up. Hey, don't compliment me. I don't know, Mama had a gesture when we were kids. I don't know what in the world she was intending. We go, if you ever said thanks, Mom, don't thank me. Thank God you got it. And I, sorry, Mom, I won't thank you next time. That was a phase that she went through back in her youth. Don't thank me. Thank God you got it. Alrighty. There are people that can't take a compliment. There are people that, if you say, man, you made that? That's beautiful. Man, you can sew. You are in the... No, don't pray. No, to God be the glory. There's some people that act like that. But Corrie ten Boom was one of those people that, you know, having survived the Holocaust and her testimony of forgiveness toward Nazis and her books, her lifelong ministry, she was an old lady. And somebody asked her, how do you handle all that? People are always telling you how wonderful you are and how God used you in their life. How do you handle it? She goes, I just receive every one of those compliments. I do. I receive them like somebody's handing me a flower. I collect them in a bouquet and I give them to the one they're due at the end of every day. I just hand them to the Lord. Isn't that a sweet way to say that? Dear little old lady. She goes, I just take every little compliment, add it to the little bundle, it's like a bouquet, and I give it to the Lord. Everybody in heaven speaks of his glory. The last thing in verse 11 where it says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Somebody produced a record project that collected some of the most ancient hymns of the early Christian church. There were songs. Nobody knows exactly what the music was like, but they have some in some ancient Christian letters. They've got little bits and pieces of what they sang, and they're not really any different than what we sang. But there's one on that particular recording of the Odes Project. Beautiful. Well, they put this to music. But the Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. The Lord gives strength to his people. He blesses his people with peace. Let's go to Psalm 30. The psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. Remember, David had been on quite a journey. David's first place was the palace. It's kind of cool. Well, I mean, technically, first legitimate house that we know. Years of his life in caves, shepherd's fields, he lived some, no doubt, in his father's house. It would seem as the youngest, he spent more time out under the big sky.
God's Sword is a production of Calvary Chapel in Central Maine, located at 154 River Road in Orrington. If you have any questions, comments, or need prayer, please contact us at 207-991-9555, or you can email us at info@ccbangor.org. If you're in the Central Maine area, you can listen to God's Sword daily on WJCX 99.5 at 9 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. You can also check out our online teaching and available resources or make a donation to help support God's Sword at www.ccbangor.org.
You are listening to InSearch Radio.
dedicated to providing inspirational and important content for you and your family. You can listen to our broadcast through our website at InSearch.com or pick up our podcast through iTunes. We encourage you to post your own stories and to share our content with others.
This is John DeSalvo. I want to tell you about an incredible product for your car called 5-Star Shine. Once you use this, you'll never have to wax your car again, and it will always look bright and clean. 5-Star Shine is the only paint protection system ever granted a U.S. patent and used by the U.S. Navy in the world's harshest marine environments. 5-Star Shine protects cars, trucks, SUVs, boats, and aircraft for years and keeps them much cleaner between washes with a super slick coating. It also keeps your vehicles always looking their best. In addition to the world-famous 5-Star Shine paint protection system, 5-Star Shine also offers car dent removers, car scratch removers, products for removing ugly oil stains from driveways, and so much more. Check out their website and your products at 5starshine.com, and that's the number 5, 5starshine.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Enjoy the music of Christian singer and songwriter Terry Clark. Terry's music can be purchased on iTunes. This is his song, Thank You, Jesus.
I was so far away, as far as ever I could stray. But you were there to bring me back. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us. We could never pay, but from my heart I'd like to say,
this is Terry Clark. I am honored to provide an oasis in your day of music, commentary, and conversation between friends focused on what the Lord is revealing to us as we walk with Him along the paths and among the people He has designed us for. Terry Clark and Friends, right here on InSearch.com Radio, starting August 2nd and continuing every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. Set an alarm for the appropriate time in your time zone and join us.